All right, Jabos, say good morning. Let's begin. So our shir is dedicated this week by Ira Grossman and family, who Ira is in the middle of sitting Shiva for his mother, Freda Grossman, Freda Bas Shmuel Zichrona Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. We also dedicate our learning the Ilui Nishmas Eliezer ben Klonimus in the hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Also, just a reminder that the Shiva Minyan is at the Grossman home this morning at 6:45, 35027 Mile Lane. And if you could help to make that Minyan, it would be appreciated as well. All right, so let's begin. So we are picking up, today's daf is test 9. We are picking up the bottom of Ches Amud Beis, 8b. Ravashi Yomer. So we'll say, remember again, we're trying to figure out the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Specifically, again, in terms of a Motzi Shemra basis. So remember again, Motzi Shemra, case a man and woman get married, husband accuses his wife of not being a basula. So the question is, how many people do you need in order to adjudicate this particular case? Rabbi Meir holds that you only need a Beis Din of 3. Rabbi Rabbanan hold that you need a Beis Din of 23. So remember, according to Rabbi Meir, you need a Beis Din of 3. Now, we're trying to figure out what the nature of the machlokes is. We've had already about 4 or 5 different approaches, and we've stumbled upon a number of yesodistic ideas. What's also very much at play over here is an underlying issue that Motzi Shemra can manifest itself in one of two ways. It could be a dinei mamonis, or it could be a dinei nefashos. It could be dinei mamonis, in that, as you saw at the end, Rashi, in the end of Ches Amud Aleph, when a husband makes this claim, he's automatically believed to deprive his wife of a ksuva, because again, there's almost like a mali l'shaker. There's an idea that why would he lie after having invested so much resources in making of the wedding? That it could be a dinei mamonis. It also be a dinei mamonis in that if it turns out that the husband is lying, so the father of the wife has the ability to collect a penalty payment of 100 shekel from the husband, but it could also be dinei nefashos. Because in the event that the husband is correct and she committed, remember again, all he's saying is she wasn't the basula. He's not making necessarily any other supporting claims about ultimately why she's not a basula. All he's saying is that she's not a basula. If it turns out that witnesses then show up and say that she committed adultery sometime during Erusin, then it becomes a dinei nefashos case. So we're trying to figure out what is at the core of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. So let's pick up last few words on Ches Amud Beis. Ravashi says, what's the machlokes? So we'll say this is all just in different interpretations. That's going to be the bulk of today's daf. Different interpretations of figuring out what is the machlokes. Kigon, listen to this. The Asru Bei Malkus below Asru Bei Ketala. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, what's the case where Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan disagree? They argue in a case where the woman was given Hasra, but she was only given Hasra for Malkus, for lashes, but not given Hasra for Misa. Look at Rashi for just a moment. The Asru Bei Malkus, the Asru Bei Ketala, the Havandei lo Miktala, Eloloka, De'im Lecha Misa's Bezdin Shalom Ne'emar Ba Lav, V'kastavar Lav Shiniti Ma'asharas Misa's Bezdin Lokin Alav, Ki Asru Bei Malkus, well, so the case over here is witnesses see her about to commit adultery and they warn her. But the Hasra, instead of saying, if you do this, you're chayiv Nisa, the Hasra that they gave her was for Malkus, was for lashes. Now, I will say, now you'll say to yourself, well, that's a wrong Hasra. So it's not a totally wrong Hasra. And that's what Rashi's pointing out over here. It's not a totally wrong Hasra because, remember, again, every lav on a technical level carries with it an issue of Malkus. Now, under normal circumstances, the person is getting a Misas Beis Din, they're not getting Malkus. But the point over here is she got Hasra for a lav, but didn't get Hasra for the Misa. So, Vakamiflagi Beplukta Drabi Shmuel V'Rabbanan. And ultimately, again, the machlokes over here is the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel V'Rabbanan. This nun, Makus B'Shlosha, I will say that again, that a Beis Din who administers Malkus, all you need is a Beis Din of 3. Mishra Rabbi Shmuel Omer Be'eshim U'Shlosha. And because Rabbi Shmuel says that you require a Beis Din of 23. Now, I will say, we'll see in tomorrow's daf what that machlokes is. But again, the Gemara is suggesting over here that the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is really focused on a very specific case where the woman received Hasra before she was about to commit adultery, but instead of getting Hasra for Misa, she got Hasra for Malkus. And the machlokes over here is, how many people do you need for a Beis Din of Malkus? Rabbi Meir is saying 3, Rabbi Meir is saying three, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and ultimately, again, the Rabbanon saying like Rabbi... Sorry, I said that wrong. The Rabbanon saying three, and Rabbi Meir like Rabbi Shmuel, who holds 23. Fine. Ravina Amar. We'll say another interpretation of the Machlokes. Ravina Amar. Kigon shenimtza echad min ha'edim karov apostle. Oh. We'll say now we're going to come to a very interesting case. The Gemara now suggests that the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is in a very specific case of where, again, there were witnesses, and Rashi says over here, Echad min ha'edim, vayusham shlosha o arba sheichol ha'edus l'skayim b'shar. Let's say again, we'll say there are three witnesses who show up. And the three witnesses claim that they witnessed the woman commit adultery. So the husband accuses her of not being a basula. Witnesses come forward that, in fact, she committed adultery. And then it turns out that's what? One of the witnesses is a karov or apostle. Now, we'll say we're setting up this case over here. Let's say, to keep it easy, there are three witnesses who come forward. One of them are found to be a karov, a relative. Now, we'll say now, krovim also, we'll get into the discussion about how far, how closely related you have to be to someone in order for them to be a karov and pasul eidos. So we take this, for example, to contemporarily to an extreme in eidos. Let's say for our purposes, by eidos, we really try to use someone who's not related to you in any way, shape, or form, even by marriage. We'll see ultimately again what the halacha dictates. But again, for our purposes today, three witnesses come forward, all claiming that she committed adultery. One, it turns out that one of them is a karov, one of them is a relative, or to any of the involved parties, or a apostle, or just for whatever reason the person is invalid. They're a gambler, right? They're a ganav, whatever it might be. So the Gemara says, now what happens? So here's the interesting part about this case. See, because you have three, even though one became invalid, you're still left with, I know it's early, but you're still left with two. Right? At the end of the day, again, you still have a kosher testimonial unit. So the shayla is, what does the invalidation of one do to the remainder of the testimonial unit? And ultimately, again, this is the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, disnan, de Rabbi Akiva omer, lo bashlishi ela lahachmir alav, la'asos dino kiyotzi be'elu. So we'll say, listen to this. So the machlokas over here is in the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Because what does Rabbi Akiva say? Lo bashlishi. And we'll say, what is Rabbi Akiva referring to? Bless you. Take a look at Rashi. Lo bashlishi. Dimimashma shene'emar apish na'im edim yakum. Kol shekim shlosha. Laman emar o shlosha edim. So we'll remember again the pasuk. The pasuk says that apish na'im edim o shlosha edim yumas hames. Right? Based on the testimony of two witnesses or three witnesses, the person will be put to death. So the obvious kasha is, if you're telling me that Eidos works with two witnesses, so why do you have to say three? Why do you need to say three? So Rashi says, Kosh ken shlosha, lama namar oshlosha, the money have to say oshlosha, ela lahachmir alov, litein chomer be'ede sheker, Shabbos says, so says Rabbi Akiva, it's to come to give you a stringency by ede sheker, sheshlishi zeh, listen to this. So Rabbi Akiva says, remember, Pasuk already saying, if you're telling me that testimony works with two edim, why do you have to say three? So Rabbi Akiva says, it comes to teach you that what? That the third is considered to be a bona fide part of the testimonial unit. Why? What's the Havamina? So the Havamina is like this. Let's say it turns out, we're going to get into this in a little bit. Let's say it turns out that three witnesses come forward to claim that Reuven killed Shimon. Just keep a simple case. Reuven killed Shimon. And then it turns out that they're Edim Zomim, right? They're false witnesses. So what's the halacha with Edim Zomim? There's a reciprocal punishment. You do to the Edim Zomim that which they wanted to do to the defendant. So in this case, they wanted to put Reuven to death. They're going to be put to death. I could have made the argument. Did you say the truth is, I understand if you're going to put witnesses one and two to death. Why? Because they were going to be the ones who were responsible for giving testimony. Witness number three, however, is what? Is what? Is irrelevant. It's really extra irrelevant. Meaning, he actually has no impact on this process. If those witnesses were going to be successful in putting Reuven to death, It has nothing to do with witness number three. It was witness number one and two. So I might have thought that witness number three should really not be included with any punishments that one and two are going to get. Kamash Molan, Rabbi Akiva says no. That's why the Torah is coming to tell you, Apish Nayim Edim, O Shlosha Edim, that when you are a testimonial unit, whether you are 2 or 22, if you come as a testimonial unit, then you are looked at as one cohesive entity, and therefore, again, you are all given the same status. So in the event that those witnesses are going to be punished, the entire group is punished as well. So watch this. It says the Gemara. Go back to the Gemara. So again, this son, Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo bashlishi, the mention in the pasuk of shlishi of apish lo she'idim, el lahachmir alav, to be machmir on the third witness, la'asos dino ki yotze ba'elu. Ultimately, again, to make his fate the same as the other two. So Rabbi Kiva says, there's an incredible mussar. Imkein, anash ha'kasav es ha'nitpa la'ovri avera, ka'ovri avera. Therefore, what do you see from here? That the Ribono Shel Olam holds a person who is nitbal ovrei avera. Someone who goes ahead and literally, nitbal means what? From like Lashon of Tafel. Somebody who secondarily attaches himself to ovrei avera, to the sinners. Right? Even someone who's not, this third guy, he's not the ringleader. The third guy, ultimately, again, is not the person in the front and center. He just happens to tag along. You know what? He has some time on his hands. So if he sees two other guys going to do an Avera, let me have a Ryan. I'll get in on this also. So we'll say, Rabbi Kiva says, you see from here that if someone who is nitbala over Avera, someone ultimately, again, who attaches himself to those who are committing an Avera, the Ribbono Shel Olam treats him ke over Avera. He's no different than the primary movers in the over Avera group. So the Gemara says, Al achas kama v'kama sheishalim schar es hanitpa la'ose mitzvah ki ose mitzvah. We'll say, we have a general principle that the midah tov, the good of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always overshadows the punishments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ribbono Shel Olam holds that a nitpa la'ovrei avera, that someone who attaches himself to those who are committing an avera, is treated like the ovrei avera themselves, then all the more so we'll say when a person joins a group who's doing a mitzvah, even if he's not the primary person in the group, but he attaches himself to the group, all the more so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him reward for that attachment as well. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Over kav chomer sheishalim schar, dekaim alon mida tova meruba mimidas paranos." Because again, Rashi says over here that we see in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, the midah tova, the attribute of good, is always eclipses and always overshadows, more amplified than the midas paranos, than any type of midah attribute of punishment. Hilchach kal v'chomer. We'll say it's an incredible, incredible yisod. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to hold the shlosha, the third, eight, accountable, even though he's only nitfal, he's tafel, he's secondary to what's happening over here. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're joining Ovrei Avera, then again, you are part of that chevra. Then all the more so will say, if I join Shomrei Mitzvos, right? If I join the proper peer groups, if I attach myself to the proper people who are doing the right things, even if I'm not the primary mover and shaker in that group, but I just attach myself to those people, there's schar for that as well. We'll say, what Rabbi Kiva is teaching us is an incredible yisod, that so much of who and what we are is based on who we attach ourselves to. We'll say it's an incredible, this goes back to the general yisod of oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheinu. This idea being sometimes we fool ourselves in thinking that our peer attachments do not necessarily have an impact on who and what we are. You see this all the time, that a person says, I know that Reuven, I know that guy, that Ploni, he's not such a good influence on me. I know he's not good influence, but it's okay, I'm strong, I'm not going to allow it to influence you. We'll say it's not true. We're influenced by everyone and anyone we come in contact to. And therefore, what the Ribbono Shel Olam says is that our successes, or chas v'shalom, our failures in life, are very much rooted in those who we choose to root ourselves to, and those who we choose to attach ourselves to. Do we attach ourselves to nitbal, right? The ovrei mitzvah, or the shomrei mitzvah, or the ovrei avera. And those peer associations sometimes make all the difference in life in terms of who we become. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. Umash naim. So we'll say, so now, this is going to be a little bit of a prolonged statement. So now we have the Gemara suggesting, remember, just so we frame over, we're trying to figure out what's the machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you need three people for a basin of Moti Shemra. Rabbanan, you need 23. What's the machlokes? Ravina's suggesting that the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir is the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva told us that ultimately the third witness who shows up is going to be chayiv the same fate as the two, even though he's only a tafel, he's only secondary. Now watch this. If you have two witnesses who show up, and one of them is a karav apostle, so the whole edus is batel. Af shlosha nimtza echa mehem karav apostle edusan betela. So we'll say this is just Rabbi Akiva's argument in its logical extension. If the Torah is coming to teach me that apishnayim edim o shlosha edim means that a testimonial unit is treated as one cohesive unit. So the same way that if two witnesses show up, one of them is apostle, there's no edus. So too, if three witnesses show up and one of them is pasul, there is also what? There is also no edus. Even though you could tell that's what, but if one of them is pasul, you still have two who are kosher. No, they're looked at as a group, and therefore again, nimtza echad min karav apostle edusan betela. Says the Raminayim, Shafil Mea. How do I know that this even applies to a group of 100 witnesses? 100 witnesses show up, Rabbi Zayin. Turns out that one of them is a karav or apostle. How do I know that goes ahead and negates the testimonial effectiveness of the entire group, even though Rabbi Zayin have 99 kosher edim? But if one of them is going to be apostle, ultimately again, the entire group is apostle. Talmud Lomar Edim, because outside the pasuk says Apishnayim Edim O Shlosha Edim. The idea being that what? That the group is looked at as one cohesive testimonial unit, and therefore as soon as one becomes puzzle, the entire group becomes puzzle. So this is the statement of Rabbi Akiva. We're going to call this in Meseches Makos Edus Shebatla Mitzasa Batla Kula. That ultimately, again, when any part of the testimonial unit becomes batel, the entire unit becomes batel. Even if what? Even if there's only one person who's pasul, and you have many other kasher edim, once one part of the edus is pasul, the entire edus is done. That's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Good. Now, what's the machlokes? Here's the machlokes. This is where it gets very interesting. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, when is this true? Rabbi Akiva. When is Rabbi Akiva's statement true? That Edo Shebatla Mikasa Batla Kula. When is it true that if one of the witnesses becomes batel, the entire testimonial unit is batel, even if there are many more than two remaining kasher edim? When do we say that? Bedine Nefashos. We say that when it comes to capital cases. But also when it comes to financial cases, money cases, so we say no. As long as there are two or more remaining kasher edim, we'll take away the invalid witnesses, but the remaining kasher edim could still serve proper edus on the monetary case. Take a look at Rashi. Listen to this. Rabbi Yossi says that when do we say that if part of the testimonial unit is no good, then we throw out the entire testimonial unit? That's by capital cases. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi, by capital cases, to be honest, we are always looking for an excuse to spare the individual. We're looking for any out not to have to administer a death penalty. Therefore, again, we'll say that if one part of the testimonial unit becomes batel, the entire testimonial unit is batel. But by dinei mamonos, by financial law, as long as you have two or more remaining edim, then what? That is going to be enough. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Omer, so we'll say that's Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, however, Rabbi says, Echad dinei mamonos ve'echad dinei nefashos. It's not true, Rabbi Osai. Rabbi says, both by dinei mamonos and by dinei nefashos, once one witness is batel, then what, Rabbi Osai? The entire testimonial unit is batel. So herein lies the fundamental. Here we have Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that when one part of the testimonial unit is batel, someone is invalid, it invalidates the whole group. Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, when to apply the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi saying only in dinei nefashos, not in dinei mamonos. Rabbi saying both in dinei mamonos as well as dinei nefashos. Let's take a look at Rashi just a moment. Actually, right across. Rabbi Omer echad dinei mamonos echad dinei nefashos shavim bekach deidusan betela. Rabbi will say that Rabbi Akiva shita applies in all cases. As soon as one witness of the testimonial unit is batel, the entire testimonial unit is done. So we'll say, watch this. Ve'imasai. But Amosai, take a look at Rashi. Ve'imasai bedinei nefashos eidusan betela. But when do we say then in dinei nefashos? Ultimately, again, if one witness becomes invalid, the entire testimonial unit is batel. Watch this. Bizman shehisru bahen. Rabbi say this is only true. Now watch this. Now watch this. So now here's let's make shalom. Let's go with what everybody agrees with. What does everybody agree with? That if you have a capital case, unless you have three witnesses, and it turns out that one of them is a karov or pasul, everyone agrees that what? Once one is pasul, the entire group is pasul, right? Both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi agree with that. The machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi is only a case of dinei mamonis, but in dinei nefashos still agree. Once one witness is pasul, the whole group is pasul. But says Rabbi something amazing. Veimasai, when is it true that in dinei nefashos, if one witness is pasul, the whole group is pasul? Bizman shehisru bahem. Rabbi Yossi, it has to be that the third witness served some type of active role. Specifically, what? Specifically, he was part of the hasra. He helped to give the warning. Look at Rashi just a moment. Bizman shehisruba hakarov ha'pasul ba'ovri aveira shegilu daitam she'av hein na'asim edim. See, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi, when do we say that if they become the third one becomes invalid and invalidates the whole group? That's only if they somehow actively participated in the edos. How do you actively participate in the edos? That this third aid was part of the hasra. Part of the hasra, he was part of giving the warning to the perpetrator, because by participating in giving the warning to the perpetrator, then what? Shegilu daitam, sha'af heim na'asim edim. He's making a statement that I'm also an aid. Vahari akasav hikish lo shalavat la'idus, imish karav apasav, alo hisra karav apasav, over aveira, el ashasku, vakshenim history bahen, ein elu na'asim edim v'dis kaim b'shkidu shabra. If the third witness never said anything, so if he never said anything, then what's his testimonial role? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Because we'll say in that respect, really, he's totally ineffective ineffective and unimpactful. If that's a word. But Lemaisa, again, so Rebbe's qualifying this. Vemosai, when do we say that by dinei nefashos, if the third witness is found to be a karav apostle, invalidates the whole group, shehisru bahen, that's only if the third witness took an active role in the edos, i.e. participated in the asra, avash zmanshlo hisru bahen. But if the third witness never did anything, in other words, he just stood there. The other two guys are giving the asra, the third witness is just standing there not doing anything, then Amud Beis, Ma Ya'as Rabosai. So then, before we finish that line, then Lemaisa, he's totally irrelevant. Osei, incredible Moser. If you just stand on the sidelines and do absolutely nothing, you are irrelevant. So if an aide just sits, it's not just true in aidos, it's true in life. Just sit on the sidelines and smile, and look around, and don't do anything. So then what are you doing in this world? So the aide who sits there on the sidelines and he doesn't participate, he's not part of that. So that's not an aide, that's a bump on the log. He's just sitting there, he's taking up space. But he's not part of the testimonial unit. Therefore, Lemaisa, again, if it turns out that what? If it turns out that he is a karov or a pasul, so Lemaisa, at the end of the day, he does not go ahead and negatively impact the eidos. So the Gemara says, and that has to be true. Why? Testament base. Otherwise, what ends up happening, if you ever have a case of two brothers and someone else, let's say Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers, witness a murder with another guy. We'll call him Avram, right? So Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Avram is there. So what happens, we'll say? If you have that case, and you assume that somebody is part of a testimonial unit, even if they do absolutely nothing, so we'll say if you have two brothers and another person who witness a murder, so they will not be able to put the perpetrator to death. Why? Because then you're telling me that the presence simply of two brothers, by definition, is a source of invalidation of the testimonial unit. Rebbe says that can't be, because then it would be very hard to go ahead and get testimony together, because the Maestro, it's quite possible that in many cases, you have someone who is a pasul or a karov who is present at the time of the event. Rather, you see that what makes you part of a testimonial unit is not simply being present, but rather participation. Therefore, I will say Rebbe's coming along and reframing Rabbi Akiva's Shita and saying even Rabbi Akiva, who says that the presence of a karav or a pasul invalidates the testimonial unit, is only when the karav or a pasul has taken an active role in the eidos. But if he has not taken an active role in the eidos, then Lamaisa again, he does not invalidate. So the Gemara says the following. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Shero be'achat charges anafesh. or plug to dry meiv rabbanan. So we'll say, how does this relate back to our Mishnah? So how does this relate back to Motzi Shemra? And the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Watch this. It says Rashi, or be plugged to Rabbi Meir rabbanan nami kigon shenimsa acham in hashosha karav apostle. So we'll say, so the Gemara is suggesting over here that this is the same machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. That in this case over here, you have three witnesses that the woman committed adultery. One of them turns out to be a karav or a apostle. V'ra'a v'shasak v'lohisra. But we'll say, in this case, what happens? So three witnesses saw that the woman committed adultery. Two of them gave hasra. The third, who let's say was the Karav apostle, did not say anything. He didn't participate in the hasra. The Rabbi Meir lo Rabbi Yosi, the Rabbi Dina Nefashos, lo shna hasra, lo shna shasak, edu samatela. So what's Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yosi? That the mere presence of the apostle ultimately goes ahead and invalidates the testimonial unit. Therefore, I will say what? There's no din misa here. There's only going to be a din of mamon, of a monetary claim, and therefore you only need a beis din of what? A beis din of three. On the other hand, v'rabbanan sarvi k'rebi, te'echad d'shasak t'skayim e'idos b'sharub niktala. The rabbanan, on the other hand, hold like Rebbe, that I will say in a case where the third witness did not participate, that in the case where the third witness did not participate, his presence does not invalidate the testimonial unit, in which case you have two edim whose sar commit adultery, in which case it is a capital case, in which case you require a beis din ultimately of 23. Okay. V'bayi seima, but it's another pasuk. So remember, this is really riveting because the truth is, it's exciting because in the quest of trying to figure out what the machlokes in the Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is, we're bringing up all of these different sugyas, all these different ideas. But really, we have one simple focus, which is to try to figure out what the machlokes in the Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is. V'bayi seima, another possibility is, he goes, hisru ba'achirim, velo hisru ba'idim. But the other possibility is, same case, man goes ahead and brings forward a claim that his wife wasn't the basula, motzi shemra, and then what happens? Witnesses come forward. But it turns out that there are two different groups of witnesses. There was one group of witnesses who saw her commit adultery. Let me say differently. There's one group of witnesses who gave her hasra, and a second group, ultimately, again, who witnessed the actual adultery. So we'll say, under normal circumstances, it's the same set of witnesses. The shiloh over here is, what if you have two sets of witnesses? Hasra witnesses, and actual, or called Avera witnesses. So the Gemara says, and the machlokis of Meir and the Rabbanon is the machlokis Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanon. How so? So the Gemara says, this nan, Rabbi Yosi omer li olam eno nerag, Achupi Shne Edov Masrin Bo Shne Mar Apish Naim Edim. Rosi Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that it has to be the same witnesses who give the Asra and to witness the act, whereas the Rabbanon hold no, you could even have two different sets of witnesses. So the Gemara is suggesting that this is the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon as well by our Mishnah. They were dealing with the case of two different sets of witnesses, in which case Rabbi Meir holds, like Rabbi Yossi, that because it's two sets of witnesses, therefore you can't administer a death penalty. Because you can't administer a death penalty, you only have a monetary case. Because you only have a monetary case, therefore what? You only have a beis din of three. Whereas the Rabbanon will hold that Lamais, again, even with two sets of witnesses, you can still try a capital case. Therefore you need a beis din ultimately of 23. Fine. Vibay Sema. We'll say another example. Now this is also very interesting. Kigon, diskachosh bebedigos. We're going to get into this later on. There are two different lines of questioning that we give to Edim when they come to give testimony in Beis Din. There's what we call Chakiros and Bedigos, or Bedigos and Chakiros. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the second short line in Rashi. Bebedigos, Ze Omer Kelev Shal Boel Shchorim, Ze Omer Levan. So we'll say, Bedigos, are kind of like secondary, really non-essential questions that are just there as another level of what we'll call, testimonial corroboration. But they're not really important. They're not central to the core of the Eidos. So, for example, Beis Din would often ask the Eidim, what was the perpetrator wearing? They both say, does it matter what the perpetrator was wearing? The answer is no. That's not really core to the actual Eidos itself. But they would ask, that's Bedigos. Chakiros, I will say, if you look at the next Rashi, Chakiros, Ezehu Yom, Ezeh Yom, Ezeh Shah, Ukiyotze Bohem, She'idim Bohem Ayidim Dehazama. Both say, Chakiros, on the other hand, is the essential information. What day did this event occur? What time did this event occur? Both say, so date and times are a very crucial piece of information. Why? Because that sets the Edom up for Hazama. Remember again, becoming Edom Zum means that second set of witnesses come along and say, Imanu Hayisem, you were with us on that date, you were with us at that time, so therefore it's impossible that you went ahead and you saw this event. So both say, that's Chakiros. Chakiros, we ask them date and time. Rashi goes on, he says, Rabbi Meir Savar, Hachoshes B'digo Shema Hachosha, V'lo Mikdala, so both say, so I'm sorry, before we go on that, Rashi, the Gemara says the following, V'ibay Seima, Kigon Diz Kachosh B'digos, what's the case over here? Witnesses show up and they claim that they saw the woman commit adultery. They will say, what happens? As the witnesses are giving their testimony, they contradict each other in the bedikos, but not in the chakiros. So they contradict each other, about say, in what we call the secondary information, but not the primary information. So what's the impact upon witnesses when they're contradicting each other on the second tier questions, bedikos, but in the primary information, they're perfectly aligned. So the Gemara says, v'kamiflugi beplugtet de ben zakai v'rabbanon. And this machlokis, Rabosai, is the machlokis between zakai and rabbanon. Watch this. This nan, Maisa ubadak ben Zakai beuktzei te'enim. There was once an episode of where witnesses were in Beis Din, and Ben Zakai, I will say Ben Zakai is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai. He was called Ben Zakai in his youth. Right? So this once happened, the case came up, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai literally interrogated the witnesses by asking them about the thickness of the stem of the dates. Now what does Mirabal say? So first of all, go back to Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi's in that Rashi Chakiros. So in the middle of that Rashi, Rabbi Meir Savar, Hachoshas Bediko Shema Hachosha, Velo Mikdala. So we'll say Rabbi Meir will hold that even if witnesses contradict each other in Bediko, secondary questioning, that's enough to refute the Eidos, and we will therefore not try this as a capital case. Because it's not a capital case, it's only a monetary case. Because only a monetary case, you only need what? How many witnesses? Excuse me. How many Dayanim? Three to try Din of Dinei Mamanis. He says, Velo Mikdala, Rabbanan Savri, Kevin de Bechakir Nimtsu Mechuvanim, Hachosha de Bediko Slav Hachoshei, Velo Ramusada de Tayle Mibda Kuleya. We'll say, on the other hand, the Rabbanan hold that as long as witnesses align themselves with the Chakiros, even if they have different answers with the Bedikos, nevertheless, the testimony will stand and the Eidos will be good. So you both say, this is interesting. Essentially, what the fundamental machlokis is how much human error do you allow for in the realm of Eidos? How much human, which is a really fundamental issue. The Rabbi Meir says, no human error. No, meaning, if you don't have your information down pat, we're not accepting your Eidos. And even if it's just regarding secondary information, if you are not on the same page, we are going to disqualify your Eidos. On the other hand, the Rabbanan hold, no, there's an element of human error. And as long as your core facts are aligned, even if you contradict each other a little bit in some of the secondary facts, we're not going to worry about that. So the Gemara brings Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as an example. But in this case over here, witnesses came along and witnesses said, we saw a particular event, whatever the event was, we saw it while standing under the fig tree. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, what was the thickness of the stems? Uktzeha dakin, or uktzeha gasin, uktzahan stuff. So we'll say the idea is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was trying to ascertain A, location, and B, timing, right? Depending on the time of the agricultural season, we'll also determine what the stems look like. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was makbid even on secondary details like Pediko. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, the case over here is a case of where the Eidim contradicted by Moti Shemra, contradicted each other by the Bedikos, but not by the Chakiros. The Rabbanan will say, contradiction by the Bedikos is okay. As long as your Chakiros are in order, we're going to try this as a capital case, therefore, Basin of 23. Rabbi Meir is saying, no, if they contradict each other by the Bedikos, you're out. You're out. It's no longer a capital case. We can still try it as a monetary case, therefore, only need a Basin of 3. Good. I'm Rabbi Yosef. So we'll say that the Gemara switches gears a little bit. So again, all these different interpretations are the Machlokes, Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanan. The Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Yosef, Hevi habal idim shazinsa, ve'evi ha'av idim ve'ezimum le'evi habal. We'll say, watch this. So let's say, husband makes the claim, my wife wasn't the basula. So what happens? He brings witnesses that the wife committed adultery. Okay? Father of the bride, right? Father of the wife, the shver. He brings witnesses, and his witnesses make the husband's witnesses into idim zomim. So in other words, let's say husband brings witnesses 1 and 2. Say that the woman committed adultery. Father of the wife brings his witnesses, we'll call them 3 and 4. And 3 and 4 say to 1 and 2, listen, I don't know if you went from adultery or didn't commit adultery. One thing I do know is, what you're testifying about, you could not have seen. Why could you not have seen that? Because you were with us at that particular time, particular date. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So, Eidei Habal Neharagin, Vein Meshalmin Mamo. So we'll say, so remember again, the witnesses that the husband brought, witnesses 1 and 2, are executed. We'll say, why are they executed? Because remember again, that's Hazama. Hazama means that if you're found out to be lying, if your witness is found to be lying, you are given the same punishment that you sought to give to the person you are testifying about. By testifying that this woman committed adultery, she would have been subject to a death penalty. Therefore, when these witnesses are found out to be lying, ultimately again, they go ahead and they are executed. I will say now, technically speaking, the ramifications of their testimony would have been felt in two ways. Number one, they would have put her to death. Number two, they're depriving her of a ksuva. What the Gemara is teaching us over Bosa is a principle that we know very well, which is kimle midrabimine. That whenever one act results in two simultaneous liabilities, you only get the more severe punishment. So therefore, in this case, where their actions of false testimony would have caused a loss of life and a loss of money, we put them to death, but they're not on the hook for any kind of money. Watch this. We'll say, here's where it gets interesting. Chazar vehevi habal edim vezimum le'edi ha'ab. We'll say, watch this. So just say, follow this story over here. You think your family is dysfunctional, right? So watch this. So husband comes along. Husband says, right to his wife, you committed adultery. Witnesses 1 and 2 could attest to that. Father of the wife brings now 2 more witnesses, 3 and 4. Right? 3 and 4. 3 and 4 say to 1 and 2, you're liars. You were with us at the time that you are testifying that you committed adultery. You cannot have seen that. Then what happens? Husband brings 5 and 6. 5 and 6 say to 3 and 4, you're lying because you cannot have been where you said you were at that time because you were with us. So now 5 and 6 just made 3 and 4 into Edom Zomim, which effectively leads 1 and 2 to be proper Edom, Kasher Edom. So we'll say, so watch this. Now the shayla is, what's the liability of 3 and 4? So it says the Gemara, Chazer vehevi abal Edom, vezimu le'edi'av, edi'av ne'erogin u'meshalmin. So we'll say the witnesses of the father, right, meaning what we call 3 and 4, are both put to death, and what? And they have to pay money. We'll say they're put to death, why? Because they were going to put 1 and 2 to death, right, through their testimony, making 1 and 2 Edom Zomim, they were going to put 1 and 2 to death, so therefore 3 and 4 are put to death, u'meshalmin mamon. But Rabbi said they also have to pay money. Why? Mamon lezeh, because remember, by 3 and 4 coming and making 1 and 2 Edom Zomim, they were going to put 1 and 2 to death. And Rabbi said, what's the mamon piece? They were going to make the husband liable to pay the 100 shekel for the defamation of the wife to the father of the bride. So therefore, I will say they were going to be goring mamon lezeh, so they were going to obligate the husband in the monetary payment, and they were going to be responsible for putting 1 and 2 to death. Remember, you only say kimli midrab mine when Rabbi Osai, when it's 2 liabilities to the same person or same party. When it's 2 liabilities to 2 different people, there's no kimli midrab mine. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, 3 and 4 are going to be put to death because they tried to put 1 and 2 to death, and they're going to have, but before they're put to death, we're going to swipe their card. Right before they put them to death, Lemaisa again, they're going to have to pay a reciprocal penalty to the husband because they were going to be goring the husband to pay the 100 shekel to the father of the bride. Mamon lezeh, unefash lo lezeh. Vam Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, just go a little bit weiter. Vam Rav Yosef. Ploni Ravo Laonso. So we'll say, now we're going to get into a different kind of case. We'll say, in this case over here, so we're going to get into dealing with when a person makes a claim about the fact that someone else committed an Avera, but the individual himself was participated in the Avera. So in this case over here, Ploni Ravo Laonso. So we'll say, let's say again, Reuven says that Shimon violated me. Right? So Reuven claims that he was violated by Shimon. So I'll say, so what happens? But it was against my will. Reuven says, Shimon violated me against my will. So who ve'echan mitstarfin lahargo? So we'll say, so Reuven, even though Reuven is a party to the act, but because it was done against his will, so l'maisa again, he's one of the witnesses. So if he's one other witness, Reuven and another witness could combine, ultimately again, to testify against Shimon. So we'll say, on the other hand, liratzono, we'll say, what happens if Reuven says, I participated in the act willingly, right? I had relations with Shimon, but again, I participated willingly in that act. So we'll say, what's talacho? What's talacho rashu? In that case, if Reuven is saying, I willingly participated in the act, then what? Then Reuven is a rasha. If Reuben is a Rasha, that Torah Amra Al Tashas Yadchar, Al Tashas Rasha. There will say, Al Tashas Rasha'id. The Torah says, you shall not go ahead and combine with a Rasha to form a testimonial unit. So I'll say, ultimately, again, say, if you sing over there, I will say, now what can happen in that case? In that case, in order to make Shimon Chayiv for the act, you'll need two independent witnesses. Since Reuven is saying, I willingly participated in the act, he's a Rasha, and therefore cannot go ahead and be an aid. Rava Amar Rava says no. Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. So we'll say Rava says that literally a person is Karov to himself. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Adam Rava Amar, in Adam Nifsa Le'idos Baudas Piv, Dadam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. Hilchach, in Adam Yachol Lassum Atzmo Rasha. We'll say, listen to this. Rava says, a person is not believed to give self-incriminating testimony. Why, Rabbi Hussein? Because a person, remember again, the halacha is, as we've seen, that a karov is pasul la'idah. Someone who's related to you is not believed to give testimony. Rabbi Hussein, no one is related to you more than who? Than yourself. Therefore, adam karov li'atzmo, I'm related to myself. Therefore, any testimony I give vis-a-vis myself, by definition, is invalid. And therefore, ein adam nesim atzmo rasha. Therefore, ultimately, again, a person cannot make himself into a rasha. A person cannot give self-incriminating. So again, it's these two principles that are tied together. Adam karov li'atzmo, a person is, quote-unquote, related to himself. Therefore, he's not believed to give self-incriminating testimony about himself. Therefore, ein adam nesim atzmo rasha. So we'll say, what do we do? Therefore, when Reuven says that Shimon had relations with me, we kind of splice, and he said, but it was willing. It was consensual, right? Therefore, again, we kind of splice his words. We'll say, we do not believe the part that says was consensual, because that's in adam nesim atzmo rasha. But we will believe that what? That Shimon had relations with him. So as such, again, we'll accept that part of the testimony that Shimon had relations with him, and therefore, again, he can go ahead and combine with someone else, ultimately, to form proper edus against Shimon. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up with this topic tomorrow about how one could go ahead and give testimony about himself, and even if we say, ein adam mesim esatzmo rasha, how sometimes palginon dibure, we could splice a person's statement, take part of it, and leave part. We'll continue here tomorrow in your session. Yeah.